Right, if we all clap at the same time.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Three, two, clap.
Steve was a bit slow, but that's fine.
All right. Yeah. Are you ready?
No.
Hello, you're listening to McCartney in Goal, which is the podcast that debates, dissects, and disseminates the great works of musical pop culture, and some lesser ones too. So we're going to chat about an album that we love and put it through an imaginary sporting World Cup-style knockout scenario. We'll start with qualifiers, get down to the eight quarter finalists and race to the semis and the big one, the final. At times, we'll be ill-informed, we could be biased, we'll certainly be subjective.
Hope so.
And McCartney will not be harmed during the making of this podcast.
Ba-dum-tish, that joke never gets funny. I love it. Keep it coming every week.
Contrary to the title, he will not be required to stand in goal. And importantly for him, he won't be...
Labour the bad joke. Yeah. That's what I love about this podcast.
He won't be required to listen to our pub chat. Spoiler alert for him there. In fact, he's not involved at all, which is certainly a relief to him, if not for me. I'm David Hughes, and I'm joined by my fellow referees, Brett.
Oh!
And Steve Sumner.
Hello there.
Oh, that was a nice hello there.
Well, I think because we're doing this in quarantine, I'm going to be reduced in my volume. So it may affect the timbre.
Let's put that to the test. It's this bit. Today,
Hang on. Yep. Can I just, I'm going to take issue with the opening, which is, I think you said that we're going to dissect an album we love. That's not really true, is it? We're dissecting an album that I love and you two know.
Very true.
It's all about.
That's a fair point. But have we grown to love it? Let's find out, Dave.
That's right. Exactly. I was just going to say that, Brett. Let's find out.
Hey, yeah. Dave, can you give us a pun-laden intro, please?
Today, we're taking the downbound train back to the glory days of the 1980s.
Well, it's got good survive.
Cover me with non-flammable denim jeans and a white T-shirt because I'm on fire with so much synthesizer.
You ruddy are, mate.
It's an album that could not have been born anywhere else but in the USA.
Lovely stuff.
That's high quality, David, high quality. I have to say, usually I sit through gritted teeth, but that was quite enjoyable.
So, Steve, I'll start with you. How good an album is this in your list of all-time albums? So I'm going to give you three choices. Top 250, top 50, or top 10?
Top 50, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And Brett?
I've listened to it recently.
Outside the top 250?
Oh!
I mean, that's a lot of albums.
That's a lot of albums, isn't it? I mean, it probably would. If I had a Desert Island Disc and was capsized with a massive
Everything boat, Boney M has done is on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's on my top
the
three
albums.
The
lesser ABBA albums are all on there. Oh. I mean, there's a lot to compete with.
Oh, only the lesser ABBA
Peter
albums.
Peter, Paul and Mary.
Would it be my top 250? Maybe.
Well, let me test you on your knowledge, Brett, of this album.
Please don't.
One of these is not true. It was Springsteen's seventh studio album, his most successful, selling 30 million.
Both of those are correct, I believe. Carry on, Dave.
Recorded in 1984, but it took almost 2 years to record. Bruce Springsteen wrote all the tracks himself. 7 of the 12 songs were released as singles, and he was working as a spy for the KGB at the time.
Yeah, I remember the KGB years. They had a great song about that.
It's definitely the bit about singles, isn't it?
Born in the USA, working in the USSR. That was a great song. Incredibly successful album. 30 million sales, 7 singles. I am going to double down on this, Dave, after this kind of fact challenge you've laid down. I'm going to ask you throughout the podcast when we discuss certain songs, were they a single or not? And I don't reckon your research has allowed you to memorize what were and what weren't singles. So right back at you. Right back at you.
Okay, that will be interesting because you're right. I haven't noted that down. I have been trying to connect with this, though, given that it was recorded in 1980s blue-collar America, or at least that's what it reflects. And that's not me. However,
although we should point out that you have arrived at the podcast in white T-shirt and denim, which is beautiful. This is like the Stone Roses podcast when you brought in the petals. You have a strange attention to visual detail for something we're making for an auditory medium. I'm not quite sure. I love it.
Certainly gives a frisson to the affair.
Totally sure why you're doing it.
I'm going to read you out the songs that are going to play off against each other. We start with No Surrender. We'll be up against I'm Going Down. My Hometown against Cover Me.
Christ.
Bobby Jean against Darlington County. And Downbound Train against Working on the Highway. So the other four, I'm on Fire, Dancing in the Dark, Glory Days and Born in the USA, are straight through to the quarterfinals.
Oh, God, I thought there was going to be some horrible controversy where you decided to just cut those out because you didn't like them for whatever reason.
No, he's not that bad. It's fine.
No, no. So, first song, No Surrender. Okay, that's going to be up against I'm Going Down. Got the sax in there at the end as well.
You've always got the sax.
No Surrender is up against I'm Going Down. Brett, do you love either of those?
I do like both of them, actually. Do you know what? When we did this, I was like, I've really enjoyed listening to it and I've got into it, but it's not been an album that's been imbued with me through years and years and years. I've just got into it recently. I really like both of them. I'm going to pass it over to Steve while I get to think.
Yeah, I like both. I think that No Surrender is the weightier song in the sort of message. It's a lovely, you know, whereas I'm Going Down is a, No Surrender is a lovely statement of sort of youthful intent, staring at the future together. You know, it's really nice, but I sonically, even though it's a sort of slighter song lyrically, it's just a kind of, oh, you don't fancy me anymore, that's really depressing, I would vote for I'm Going Down, because I just like it sonically. And also I have a really bizarre specific hang up with No Surrender, which is I don't like the scan of the lyric. No defeat, it feels like should be no defeat and no boom boom boom, just like a one I can't even do it. Anyway, I don't like No Surrender. I find that slightly jarring. So I'm going down.
Okay.
Well, oh, that's interesting. I mean, yeah. No Surrender was put back onto the album at the insistence of the guitarist Steve Van Sant. Is that right?
Yeah, we'll get to it. He had some...
He's a very compelling character. But he really insisted. Last minute, went back onto the album.
Yeah, yeah. Where was it heading for?
I don't know.
B-side. Well, the thing is, it's like if you look at the River box set that he released a few years back, I mean, the River's like a massive sprawling double album. And on the box set, which I have downstairs, is amazing. It's about double that size. So, I mean, if you look at the sessions for this album, there's because a lot of, you've got the Nebraska stuff and then it carries on. There's probably another.
What Nebraska's the album before this?
Nebraska's the album before this. So let's not get too far into it. But he made a sort of very stripped down acoustic album before this. And then songs that follow on from that. And then he introduces them to the band and then they get bigger. And then suddenly the synthesizers come in and suddenly it becomes this. Right. And actually those two albums are in a lot of ways are a pair, but they couldn't sound more different from each other. But the point was that there's another probably 12 songs sitting around that didn't get...
Oh, apparently he wrote, I think up to, he said I wrote up to about 70 songs for the album, or they were flowing around at that time. For me, I can see why Steve Van Sant wanted to put it back in. Yeah. But Going Down has just got that great refrain. The chorus is great. It's just so laid back. It's got that kind of cool groove, which is actually on quite a lot of this album, apart from, you know, it's probably its most famous song, but... Yeah, I'm going to go for... I'm going to go with the guitarists. I'm going to go with No Surrender.
All right, interesting. So I've got Going Down as one of my Heartland Rock songs. So they sort of seem to roughly divide into pop rock and Heartland Rock. And
what is Heartland Rock?
I was going to say, this is not a phrase I'm familiar with.
Is it not?
You're just making this up.
He's just inventing phrases for the podcast. This is banana rock.
Like, what? Oh, it's a lovely, lovely...
No, you say it with enough conviction, we'll believe you. Yeah. This is Heartland Rock.
I was believing. I was like,
I know. I'm glad you said something. I was just going to let it pass.
Yeah, that's very
Wikipedia
clever.
It's got a whole Wikipedia page. So it's the kind of...
Well, if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true.
That's it. Must be.
Fact.
So John Mellencamp, Springsteen, Tom Petty, it's that. Anyway, I'm not an expert on it, but I've long thought.
Hang on. You're not giving us a definition. You've just listed three.
But Dave has said he's not an expert on it at least four times. Dave, are you an expert on Heartland Rock?
I don't want him to be an expert. I just want a definition of any kind.
He's not an expert. He's got no Wikipedia.
He doesn't need to. I'm not an expert on you know, bananas, but I can tell you roughly what they are.
Dave, tell us about this hearty rock.
All right, buckle up. Heartland rock is a genre of rock music characterized by straightforward, often roots-style music, a concern with the middle-class or blue-collar American life.
This is very erudite, Dave. It almost sounds as if you're reading some prose. That can't be true.
Well, the power of Wikipedia I bring you, exemplified by singer-songwriters like Tom Petty, Little Bob Seger, Bruce Springsteen.
About Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jack is gonna be football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jack.
Breaking her heart.
Now I'm free. Free falling.
Well, I mean, that's all right up your strata, isn't it, Steve? So you should have heard of Heartland Rock by now.
I know, I feel chastened.
I'm not an expert, but listening to...
He's not an expert.
Dave, you should have got that out in the open early.
I just had not believed expert, Dave.
Yeah, that's why you're on the podcast. You're here for the Heartland Rock and the puns.
I thought that's what the jeans and the T-shirt were about. You were showing your Heartland Rock.
I am trying to channel my Heartland Rock. Yeah.
What are you voting for? Because we're aged on this.
No Surrender, I can see that they maybe didn't think much of it and only just included it on the album, because that wasn't even a single. That's the only one I've got written down, Brett, that I know that wasn't even a single.
You're saying No Surrender was not a single, is that what you're saying?
But to me, it sounds like it's something out of the Born to Run sessions. It's got that, and it's interesting, Steve, what you're saying about the scan of the lyrics, because I love it. I love that.
It's a personal hang-up. It's not a criticism.
Okay.
That kind of rhythm he brings. In fact, that might even be my favourite song on the album, No Surrender.
Oh, wow. Crikey. So is Going Down, which is kind of ironic, because I think it is, was that a single?
Yeah, it was,
I don't know.
No, it's just a game, Steve. I know you don't understand competitive format, but we're playing a game here, Steve. I'm going to ask Dave all the way through what were singles, what weren't. Dave, I reckon he's going to get five of them right and two of them wrong. Was Going Down a single? I mean, you've got...
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, well done. Fucking unbelievable, Sumner.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, he's got one right. You've got a tick.
So No Surrender from No Surrender. I'm Going Down is Going Down.
Oh. Lovely stuff.
Which brings us to...
We're going to have the traffic and weather news soon.
My hometown is up against Cover Me. So times are tough.
Just getting tougher. What a great opening line that is.
Yeah, amazing.
Go on then, Husey. Take us through it.
Times are tough now, just getting tougher. That's what
you're just repeating yourself.
Just going to read the first line and
okay.
Let's do it.
So I thought right at the start of this, when you said those songs, like, that's going to be easy. I know what I'm going for. And then I heard both of them, which is interesting because I'm kind of enjoying this album and liking it more even as this podcast goes on. But then I heard the opening bars of My Hometown, and it is great. Ends the album. An interesting choice to end the album on. But I love that guitar figure on Cover Me. It's really tight. It's great rhythm guitar. Do you know what? I think Steve, you said to me years ago, it's actually easier to be a really good lead guitarist than a really good rhythm guitarist. And you never get their plaudits, but the rhythm guitar on that is fantastic. It's so funky and sexy. So I'm going to go with Cover Me.
One of the big, big boss themes is that he does songs that get misinterpreted because he tends to write things that sound upbeat musically, but the lyrics are incredibly downbeat. My Hometown is sort of an example of that, because even though the lyrics sound downbeat, people still sing it in a kind of, I'm singing about my hometown. It's a beautiful place, and we'll, you know, put our arms around each other and sing about our hometowns. But even then, last verse, they leave because it's shit now. And all the houses have closed down, you know? And that's, if you dig into the lyrics, that's happening all over the place. Even, you know, I'm Going Down is like, sounds really upbeat, but it's like, oh, you really don't like find me sexually attractive anymore. This is massively sad. And that's a major thing with him.
You know that game that you play where you have movies and then you just, you reduce them to one line, like, you know, Titanic would be, ship goes on Maiden Village and sinks.
Maiden okay. Village.
Void.
No, but I love that. Yeah. I would pay to watch that. If Celine Dion can make a song about a ship landing on a village, that would be amazing.
Village full of maidens.
Yeah. So you reduce it to movie plot synopsis just to one line.
Yeah, but then change one word and completely change the idea of the film. I love it.
So if you did that to this album, I've got Frustrated Dreams, Unemployment, and I'm in Jail Now.
Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Going back to what you were saying, Steve, about dark. So it's dark, isn't it?
It is dark. And I think the reason I'm not voting for My Hometown. I mean, again, it's strange that I'm going on sort of what seems like the less weighty track, because I mean, he wrote Cover Me for Donna Summer and
did he?
Disco tune. Yeah. And then I think his boss, the manager, came in and said, no, that's too good. Keep that. So, you know, he was trying to write songs specifically for other people, because he'd written Hungry Heart for the Ramones. And that was his big hit, because, again, the manager said, don't give that to the Ramones. What are you doing?
I didn't know that.
And that was his big hit. So he was trying to write for other people.
He did write stuff with Patti Smith, did he, as well? So was he in part of the CBGB thing? Did he get involved in that? Do we know?
No, not
he just was on the periphery.
But no, I'm going to vote Cover Me, because, again, sonically, I just prefer it. I think if My Hometown sounded like The Wrestler, you know, it's very much a sort of similar vibe, but it's just him and an acoustic guitar. And this is the one place, I think, on the whole album where the synthesizers just get slightly in the way for me. So I'm going to go Cover Me.
This was 1984, though.
No, I'm taking no issue with the synthesizers.
I'm signing up for the synthesizers.
Yeah, totally. It's just the one time when I'm not.
And I love it. I love the nostalgia. I love the vibe of that song. I would definitely go Hometown.
So,
which is not going through, I think.
No. So, Dave, before we finish, either of those singles, don't help him.
I'm going to say that Hometown was a single.
You are correct. Final song on the album, and I believe the final one released. And is Cover Me a single? Just come on, complete set.
I don't know. No, I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no, and you're going to be covering yourself in disglory, if that's such a thing, because you're wrong.
The percentages on this, I should just go yes every time, shouldn't I? They're greater than 50.
Well, 7 out of 12, you've got 50-50. Yeah, I mean, you've got two right and one wrong. And I mean, to be honest, you got one of them right because Steve told you the answer. So you've got one right and one wrong, which is, yeah, you're literally being average so far. So up your game, Hughes. Come on. Okay.
Steer away from the disglory. Nobody wants that.
The anti-glory.
It's a bad look.
Bobby Jean, Darlington County are the next two.
Well, I'm not I'll get in early and get out early. I'm not a massive fan of either, so I will just plump for Darlington County.
Why?
What's your issue there, mate?
No, it's no issue. It's just like these are probably the two of my least favourite tracks on the album. They seem to be up against one another. So, in the attempt for brevity, which has been ruined by the fact you've both asked me why I've chosen that, I'm going to go with Darlington County.
Was that literally just put two balls in a hat? And
no, there's something a bit more about that I like. There's a bit more to chew on. I mean, for me, the album really gets going when Downbound Train comes in. That's where I really start to really like this album.
Yeah.
That's just for me. But that's track 3, Darlington County. And it's all right.
It's all right. Steve, is Darlington County is Darlington County all right?
I love Darlington County. I love the guitar. I love it, that it's one of his little story songs. He loves these character songs and these little stories. And it's just a little vignette about sort of, me and Wayne went off to Darlington County and had a crazy time. And then Wayne gets arrested and, oh, what a crazy time we had. And it's the lesser of the two songs, because Bobby Jean, again, is supposed to be one of the weightier ones. It seems to be a theme I hadn't noticed that's developing here, that the ones that have more depth to them, which is Bobby Jean in this case, I like less. I seem to like the more frivolous ones on this album a little bit more. I would totally go Darlington County. So that's my vote.
Bobby Jean, what's the story behind that one?
This is the thing, you see, because Steve Van Zandt is his kind of right-hand man. And you were talking about how Steve Van Zandt, what was the song you said he got put back on?
Oh, No Surrender, apparently.
Yeah. And he had big issues through these sessions, not least through Dancing in the Dark, which we'll get to, which was kind of the breaking point for him because it was too poppy.
So he was the guitar.
He's the guitarist.
He's the guitarist. So they use so much synth.
I don't think it's necessarily the synth. I think he just felt it was getting too poppy and he wasn't being listened to, because he'd really been listened to a lot more before that. And he left halfway through the sessions. And Bobby Jean is widely regarded as being a goodbye to him, so it's not Bobby Jean, but Steve Van Zandt probably didn't scan as well. that's what it's supposed to be about, although he came back and now he's all good with all of it. You know, I mean, I've seen the two of them play the whole album through live and it's just the most brilliant thing. You know, he's sort of, and he's accepted that, well, we'll get to Dancing in the Dark, but yeah, it's supposed to be about that, but it's actually probably my least favourite song on the album. So Donington County is an easy win for me there.
Dave, as a resident Heartland rock expert, what are you going with?
I'll go Bobby Jean. I really like that. Yeah, I like the synth and the piano. Darlington County. I like that. I'm not quite sure what that story's all about.
Which one is the more heartland rock?
I'm glad you asked. I put them both into my heartland rock algorithm, and Darlington County came out as the most
20% more heartland.
20% more heartland. Dave, either of them singles?
No.
Saying no to both of them.
Yes. David, seven of these 12 songs were singles, Dave.
Yeah, so I mean, statistically, that's a ballsy move, Dave. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say Bobby Jean was. I think that's probably more sing. That sounds more catchy to me.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, your balls have got you in trouble because neither of them were singles. So that's another cross. Are you running out of guesses?
I led him down the path there.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Talk me out of that one. So the next tie is Working on the Highway against Downbound Train, which are next to each other on the album.
Oh, that's good. Should we just talk about Working on the Highway before it gets voted off? Because obviously Downbound Train's got to win this. It's an amazing song.
Oh, well, Brett, you're not going to be happy.
Oh, come on.
Working on the Highway is Heartland Rock, according to my algorithm.
For God's sake!
That's Heartland Plus.
Oh my God.
That's super strength Heartland.
It is. It's got a lot of Heartland in it.
I mean, he's working on the highway.
He is. He should be calling it Working on the Heartland Highway. That would be a better title, I think. Yeah, it's nice. It's like a rock and roll song. It's got with a bit of synth. And I like it, but it's no Downtown Train. I mean, that guitar opening is just superb. The vocal comes in, it's so beautiful and just off the groove, isn't it? It just comes in on the half beat, just off. It's a dream. It's a great song. It's
Downbound Train.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's got that kind of folk rock thing going with it. It's just great. I love it. So that's my vote.
Once again, it's just something I've got going on with this album. It's interesting to watch myself do it, but I have to go Working on the Highway because I prefer it sonically. I think you're right. I mean, there are some of these that we do where I would argue the point with you, and on any of these I wouldn't. I think Downbound Train is the weightier, probably more worthy song, but I love the way that Working on a Highway is a funny little story about, you know, he's
turning frustration into some kind of euphoric energy and then ending up in jail.
And
well, the whole thing, he is in jail looking back, isn't he? Telling a story.
Yeah, but I like the way he's working on the highway at the beginning and then he gets himself into trouble and ends up sort of ironically doing the same job but from a jail perspective. But I mean, that hardly matters. I just like the way it sounds. That's, and again, there's something about Downbound Train. Somebody said, I was listening to it recently, and they said something about his guitar sound always sounds like it's just threatening to go out of tune.
Okay, Dave, have you voted? I can't remember.
No, I think you've gone Downbound Train. Steve's gone Working on the Highway.
So you're going to go Downbound Train. Off we go. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
he's being very pressuring.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Downbound Train.
Oh, good lad. Good lad.
Do you want to hear the 8 songs that are through to the quarterfinals?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah. God, are we only at the quarterfinals? Oh, my God. You're going to have to edit a lot of this out, mate.
No Surrender, I'm on Fire, Cover Me, Dancing in the Dark, Darlington County against Glory Days, and Downbound Train, Born in the USA.
Lovely.
So the first quarterfinal is No Surrender against I'm on Fire.
Well, I mean, how sexy is I'm on Fire? If Cover Me had a sexy guitar, I mean, how many children were conceived to the sound of I'm on Fire? Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. There must have been a baby boom in the American 1985.
For me, if you ignore the lyrics, which sound quite menacing, is that
right?
Is that just me?
Well, he wants sexy times and he's not getting them. It depends on
I haven't really studied the lyrics, but it's just the whole groove of it. It's kind of caressing the microphone. He's really singing it in a very kind of sensual way.
I thought that's what you were talking about, because it's one of those rare times when a song that sounds like a sexy song,
like, in terms of like Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, that has that sort of sexy ambiance to it, actually has lyrics that are about sexy times.
There's a lot of sort of hints in this album. Well, not a lot, but there are a few hints of relationships with underage girls, crossing county lines with underage girls. And this, I don't know, it's certainly not obvious, is it? But maybe there's a hint here.
No, I think that's there. I love that lyric about, what is it, having an axe through the middle of his skull. It's that, you know, it's proper sexual frustration song. People tend
freight train running through the middle of my head, only you can cool my desire.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty saucy stuff.
It's very dark, isn't it? Someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull.
That's the one I mean, yeah.
Sometimes it's like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull.
But that's the thing, you see, again, it's a slight misinterpretation, because people sort of, if you watch the concerts, they cut to the audience, and you'd see people singing in a sort of sexy way. It is a bit, you know, oh, I really, really want to do it with you, and I'm really, that's all I can think about, and it's keeping me up at night. And you know, it could be quite sinister, really.
Yeah, I think the way he sings it is trying to be seductive, and I think that would be the way the majority of people would interpret it, wouldn't they? That it's seductive and it's not menacing.
I love that low kick drum that runs all the way through. It's like a heartbeat.
The drum sound on this is amazing, isn't it?
It's like that's the first part of I'm on Fire, Streets of Philadelphia, and Secret Garden. They seem to be like a trilogy spread across, not deliberately, I'm sure, but spread across 15, 20 years. I'm on Fire is up against No Surrender.
I'm
probably going to have to go for I'm on Fire, because it is such an amazing song. And also, the classic test, could you sing it on a ukulele? Yes, you could, and it sounded amazing.
I'm going No Surrender.
They're both great. You know, got the line in No Surrender, we learn more from a 3-minute record than we ever learned in school. That's great. The second line is just beautiful. But it has surrendered in the quarterfinals, unfortunately.
There you go, it's going down.
Right, the next quarterfinal is Cover Me against Dancing in the Dark. Landau, who I gather was his manager, said the album needs a single.
Yeah, needs a single, which he replied, I must have read the same article, I've just written 70 bloody songs, do you really need one more? Crying out loud. And the irony is, obviously, 7 singles released from this album, so there are already 6 more singles. Was it a single, Dave?
It was, and it's arguably the strongest single, isn't it, despite the title of the album.
I think it might have even got to number one.
And it was written in one night.
He had a massive stroke, went, I've written loads of songs, and then he came back with that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how great art can just fall out of some of the greatest artists.
Well, it's nice when you get put under a little bit of pressure sometimes. Sometimes when people have someone to stand over them and go, no, go back and give me a single. Some amazing records have been written that way. Go on.
Well, the lyrics are really strong, aren't they, across this album? I think that's one of the strengths.
Yeah, but again, this is a classic example of, you know, everyone's in the audience going, you can't start a fire. Oh, yeah, Bruce. You know, and it's like, listen to it again. It's a massively downbeat lyric. I mean, really, really, you know, I'm tired and bored with myself. But yeah, this was the one where Steve Van Zandt pretty much pushed him over the edge, because he's just, this is a pop tune too far. And now he loves it and he totally accepts its, well, or he accepts its value, I think, is, you know, the way he puts it. But
there's a lot of synth on this, but is that just what's making it sound poppy? Like if it had,
I think that's
guitars,
what pushes it way into that area, yeah.
Yeah, into that field. There's a great line in Dancing in the Dark. There's something happening somewhere, baby. I just know there is.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not here. That's the thing. Yeah. That's such a, you know, it's such a plaintive sort of lyric. But he really shrouds that stuff. Not many people do it, where you've got this eternal juxtaposition of seriously dark lyric versus upbeat tune.
And in his defence, he was specifically told to write a single, to come back the next morning with a single.
Well, yes, but under those circumstances, you come back with an upbeat lyric as well, don't you? You don't come back with a really, really dark lyric and shroud it in an upbeat tune.
Is anyone going Cover Me?
No. Oh, that's really no hard. One's going to be going Cover Me.
I love Cover Me, though.
Oh, but Dancing in the Dark is just solid gold.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right, fine. Yes, you're right. You have to go for Dancing in the Dark.
I mean, I'm not going to give you... We know that's a single one today. Right, what have we got left, Husey, in the quarterfinals?
Okay. We've got Darlington County against Glory Days.
So this is your final chance. This is your final question of the night. Which one of these two in the upcoming quarter is a single? Is it Darlington County or is it Glory Days? This is your last chance. It's winner takes all. You've had a poor performance, but this is your chance to get some glory back. Have some Glory Days. Am I helping you? I don't know. What's the answer, Dave? Which one of them is a single?
It's got to go Glory Days. If that had been my album, I would release Glory Days.
Right, yep. If it's your Heartland Rock album. I mean, I gave you a clue there. Was it Glory Days? Was I trying to trick you? Are you sure?
No, I'm not being talked out of this.
Oh, he's not being talked out of the glory! He's right. It was the final single of the seven. Nice.
Good work.
Well done, Husey.
Saved yourself, Hughes.
A bit. A tiny bit.
Yeah, not long.
So, Darlington County is up against Glory Days.
That's an easy one for me.
Yeah, easy for me as well.
I think for me.
Glory Days is my favourite track on the album, frankly.
Right, giving away the farm there.
It is. It's my favourite track on the album, I think.
Okay.
Every verse is just like, yeah, life's shit now, but hey, let's talk about the old times because it'll be better.
Springsteen's definitely got that pattern, hasn't he, on turning frustrated memories or memories of disappointment into some kind of glamorous, nostalgic look back at, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. So that's going through. Right, that was nice and easy. What's up next, Hughes?
Downbound Train. And finally, we reach...
Finally got there. We've left it right till the end. I mean, people would stop listening by now.
Do you want to go first, Bretsky?
Well, I think I want to come back to the thing I alluded to at the start. There's a kind of a Springsteen journey, isn't there? I mean, yeah. So many people never start their Springsteen journey, and I think it's very much due to Born in the USA. The imagery, the lyrics, the idea, the interpretation of the song versus the reality of the song.
I would also add to that English people. I think there's
possibly
a disconnect,
so, yeah,
in a way that we don't have with a lot of other American acts. I think there's something particularly uniquely American about Springsteen, and that I think that song creates an even bigger barrier for British people.
For a lot of people, maybe Born in the USA is not the best way to be introduced to Bruce Springsteen.
No. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's probably his most well-known, isn't it? But as a song, it's got three elements. So it's got that kind of drone bass, which carries on all the way through it. It's got that massive hammering snare.
And then it's
got that synthesizer riff, which just, again, carries all the way through it.
Stop.
Break as such, it doesn't really have a middle eight, but it has that section where the bass drops out and it's a kind of pseudo middle eight.
An incredible moment for a stadium rock, isn't it? It's just hands clapping and that vocal sung out. Amazing.
As a song, and a hit song, you know, it almost breaks the rules like that. It's just, it's a riff, a drone bass and one big drum all the way through, which must say a lot for his vocals and his rhythm.
So are we going to get into the elephant in the room about it being the most misunderstood song possibly ever?
I thought it was about unemployment. I don't know if you mentioned being in jail now, but...
No, it doesn't this time. But I don't know if you mentioned, you listened to the acoustic version, but the acoustic version, it wouldn't be misinterpreted so much.
How long is it going to take? I haven't had dinner yet.
All right. I'll do my best. All right, well, look, I mean, basically, it's about a guy who's been sent off to the Vietnam War and he's come home and there's no work. You know, if you listen to that acoustic Nebraska style version, it sounds very downbeat and it is that way. But the second that synth riff got on it, ding, 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 it became this enormous stadium rocker. It was Reagan era. And Reagan said it was his favorite Bruce Springsteen song and was saying nice things about Bruce Springsteen. It is widely regarded as one of the most misinterpreted songs ever because if anything, it's possibly anti-American. But it's essentially the
Vietnam War and the vets coming back from Vietnam.
Yeah, the vets and how badly they were treated when they came home. And it's like, look, I was born here, man. Just give me a fucking job. That's all I want.
But it's one of the big songs. It's one of the iconic songs, isn't it, of that 1984-85 period.
If you close your eyes and think of Bruce Springsteen, you think of, I mean, you've turned up to the podcast in white jeans and, I'm sorry, in white t-shirt and blue jeans. And that's because...
You're welcome.
No problem. You know, that's because that's the image that is sort of etched on everybody's mind, because he was you know, selling records before this, but this made him as big as Madonna and Michael Jackson and everybody else, and he will never ever get rid of that image.
So it's up against Downbound Train, but I seem to have crossed out Downbound Train already.
Wow, that's presumptuous.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it?
Yep.
Are you going Downbound Train?
Yeah, from what I've said, I mean, I think for a lot of people probably born in the USA will stop them exploring all of Springsteen's work, actually. So I'm going to go with Downbound Train because I love it as well.
I'm going to go Born in the USA.
I think I'm going to go Born in the USA as well.
Wow. Okay, so it's gone through.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the semi-finals. First semi-final is I'm on Fire against Dancing in the Dark.
Ooh, that is
got
a tough
to go dancing. Got to go dancing on that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I mean, I like both of them. I'm going to go Dancing in the Dark. Yeah. It would make me do exactly that if I heard it and the lights had gone out.
And the second semi-final, Glory Days and Born in the USA.
Oh, it's got to be Glory Days. It's got to be Glory Days.
Shall I go Born in the USA? Because I was going to say that anyway. And then that leaves Brett with a lovely...
A dilemma. I think one of my favourite songs has already gone. We're in Downbound Train. So I'm going to say Born in the USA is my vote.
Oh no, I just voted it through in the last round and now I'm going to be stressed because it's taking down my favourite song.
There is such a thing as tactical voting. I sure have.
I'm so annoyed now. I wanted Glory Days to win this whole thing.
Yeah, but we'll have to see what you vote for in the final, won't we? Mate. And whether my vote has helped me. Right, what's the final? Do we need a drum roll?
The final is Dancing in the Dark. What?
Go on. What's that?
To you.
Say something.
Shall we all clap?
No, three. I'm not. No.
No, okay. No, the final is Dancing in the Dark against Born in the USA, the two big songs on the album.
Rock behemoths. Heartland rock behemoths, one might say.
Well, Dancing... No, I haven't got either of those down. Although I haven't put either of them into my algorithm. So, okay. Stand to be proved wrong.
It's a straightforward vote for me. I'm going to go Dancing in the Dark, but I just want to say that Born in the USA. Did you know how that came about?
Hang on. Why is that straightforward?
Because I just love Dancing in the Dark a lot, and I've already discussed how I don't get Born in the USA as much as a lot of other people. It's a great pop song.
Yeah, I'd go Born in the USA.
Okay, Born in the USA, which he wrote because someone had a film called, apparently, Born in the USA, and he had to write a song for it. And I think he had a song called Vietnam or something that he was thinking about putting on Nebraska, and then that turned into Born in the USA.
Yeah.
Just had to squeeze that last anecdote in because I'd bothered to write it down. So I could have got in earlier, but we didn't get a
lovely
chance.
Lovely work, mate. Lovely work. Thanks. Lonely Styles. Which brings it down to me. Brings it down to my vote in that case.
Oh,
which is quite
exciting.
Difficult, because I wanted Glory Days to win this.
I know. Didn't go through to the final because I voted for Born in the USA.
Yes, you've explained tactical voting to me. I'm going to go and try and study it.
Has my dastardly plan worked, Dave?
Apparently. But I'm going to go Dancing in the Dark.
Yes! Evil genius laugh. I get up in the evening and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning. I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. This was really interesting.
doing this album. Was it? So, going back to that initial question, so where does it fit in your list of all-time albums?
Yeah, because you didn't answer that question, Dave. Where does it fit in yours?
Yeah, well, having done this and...
become an expert in Heartland Rock, yeah.
Yeah, it's very quickly risen up that list, and I would say it's in the top 50.
Now,
whereas it would have been in the top 250, but probably towards the bottom of that prior to this. So, I think if it wasn't for doing this podcast, I wouldn't have listened to the album, certainly in the detail.
Sometimes you get, which I struggle with a little bit because I'm a bit literal about it, but when people talk about like classic albums and then they're really talking about like four songs on it or six songs on it that they like, and to me I always feel like if you're going to say something's a classic album, really it's got to be pretty much all the classic album, otherwise you're just talking about specific songs. And I think this is a great case of that, because there are things I like more and there are things I like less, but there really isn't a weak moment on it, and I think that's a really good argument for it being on an album list.
It's very consistent, the production's great, like everything sounds amazing. The drum production, we haven't really got into that, but just every sound of every drum sounds brilliant. The kick drum, the snare, it's got such a distinctive drum sound. And his singing is really varied. I mean, you go from Born in the USA to the kind of croon of I'm on Fire. It's a fantastic album, yeah.
So you've been listening to McCartney in Goal. What would be great is
should we do a bigger cheer there? You can tell we've been casting. I'm saying we've been casting now for over an hour because we're like, oh God, I mean, I definitely want Medina. Go again and we'll give it a bigger cheer. Go on, right. Do it again. Go on, do it again, Hughie. Go on.
You've been listening to McCartney in Goal.
Hey!
What are we doing next?